Merry Christmas, and thank you for coming to the second Sunday of church and Christmas. It's good to be with you this evening and celebrate. You'll remember that on Tuesday we celebrate Epiphany, the Epiphany of our Lord, in which the revelation of God is presented in the visit of the wise men, the Magi, who give gifts to the Lord. This gift was not only in the presence of God, but the present of God as well to us. And so today we look at a unique story about the wise men in this Gospel of Matthew. Have you ever just wished that you could see into the future and know exactly what is next? Perhaps you find yourself in some circumstance where there doesn't seem to be a solution. Or you wonder, how is this all going to work out? Perhaps life is going along great, too. And it doesn't have to be a specific difficulty that you're wrestling with or experiencing. But you still might wonder, what's happening next? Or maybe the question is a little bit less futuristic, and you find yourself asking some of the great and big questions of life. Who am I? Why am I like this? What's my purpose in life? If you can relate to any of these questions, then I think, like the wise men of old, you are seeking answers. And the passage from Matthew is interesting because it is the only time in Scripture when wise men are portrayed in a positive light. There are wise men in a whole bunch of other places in the Bible. They serve as astrologers, diviners, spiritualists, those who pretend to know the answers in the future. The word magi actually means priests, and they were experts in mysteries. They were most notably from Persia or Babylon. By the time of Jesus, others were included in this category as well, those who studied astrology, those who understood and sought to interpret dreams, those who studied the sacred writings and scripture, those who pursued wisdom, and those who sought out magic. Throughout the Bible, wise men are always calling upon false gods, and they're always telling a king what they want to hear. They're always working to make themselves rich. In this passage, though, while it's clear that these wise men don't know the answer to their question, they do generally seem open to God's divine plan. And they are curious about a prophetic word of old. While they don't understand, something unique has happened to them that has caused them to be curious. A star has shown up. And that's unique. The wise men of old were known to be astrologers. They looked at the heavens. They paid attention to what was going on in the heavens because they were seeking wisdom. They were seeking information. They wanted to know things. Specifically, I think they wanted to know who created the world, who was in charge of it, who was running it. And so they're seeking one who's identified by this unique star. That's really the whole reason for their travels. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says that these are men who have come from the east. It says, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him. It's kind of a throwaway line. They're explaining something about why they're present, but it's not really an insignificant thing. They have traveled upwards of 900 miles on foot and perhaps by camel. They've spent a long time, perhaps as many as 9 months in travel. What is it they're seeking? Remember that in the East, there's been a long history of people who sought out wisdom, the wisdom of God, the understanding things, knowledge and information. These were men who were known, as I said, to read the stars in the heavens. They're looking for information that could guide them about the world and what's going on in the world. They sought to know things. They sought to understand their world and know how it existed. And it was sustained. They wanted to know how everything is put into place and for what purpose. And don't we have those same questions today? We fret over the political landscape of our time. We worry about the speed with which AI is advancing. We all have concerns about the digital world and how it hardly seems helpful. We wonder about our health and safety. We don't know when the loneliness will end. We desperately long to be free from our addictions. We aren't sure if we can go on one more day. We wonder why the nefarious or successful and godly people struggle. Or perhaps we wonder about how the ACNA mess is going to end. I don't know. But today I want to look at three things. I want to look at what we don't know about, specifically the future. Second, I want to look at what we do know about God's revelation. And third, I want to look at who we can trust. So first, I've already described some of what we don't know, specifically the future and the conclusion of things. Many of us in this room are teachers or professors. Many of us are parents or students. In these cases, we're all learning about things that we don't know. As students, we're all seeking knowledge. But in our learning endeavors, what we are really in pursuit of is wisdom. Shepson's simplistic definition of wisdom is this: it's knowing the right thing and doing the right thing. They have to go together. The Hebrew people had a word for this. It's yada, which means to know, to be, and do. That is, the Hebrew people understood that knowing something wasn't the end result of it, but it was actually living out that thing that was more important. They, as God's people, were expected by God to live out what they knew of him and his laws. And so to live out God's expectations meant to demonstrate true wisdom. We're to do this today as well. These magi were in search of wisdom. They quote from the prophet Micah. Now, that's an interesting thing. How do these guys know the prophet Micah? I'll get to that in just a second. Micah says this: "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Where is this ruler? From Bethlehem in the land of Judah. What's the ruler doing there? Well, we know the story. He is there because Mary and Joseph had to return to Bethlehem under King Herod's census. They needed to return to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus, which would fulfill an ancient prophecy about the Messiah, even though they didn't know what was happening at the time. The Magi had questions which were left unanswered in their minds. What was it they were searching for, and why did they have these questions? I'm glad you asked. Many years before the birth of Jesus, to be exact, in 605 BC, a teenager named Daniel was exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon. And while he was in Babylon, he demonstrated to his captors his faithfulness to Yahweh, the one and only true God. Now, he did this in the face of pagan and polytheistic religious systems. Daniel and his godly friends lived obediently as strangers in a strange place, as exiles in a world that was not their home. And as he did so, he interacted with the wise men of the day. This happened primarily because those wise men of the day were in opposition to him at times, and they were in awe of him at others. These were men who were supposed to be the wise men of the day, who were to guide and instruct the king in their understanding of wisdom. But Daniel knew better. He obeyed God, and he was able to discern the dreams of kings. He was able to interpret those dreams. Daniel was protected from the hungry lions when thrown into their den. And Daniel, as a prophet of God, was given visions of heavenly future events. These were the things that the Babylonians and the Persians understood. They had read the Hebrew Scriptures. They had studied the Hebrew Scriptures, and they wondered about the Hebrew Scriptures because those Scriptures all point to one. And this is the backdrop of the story for our passage from Matthew's Gospel. So when the star arrived, boy, this was something, and it needed to be investigated. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, embedded in the middle of a longer section I'm going to read for you, says this: "And Balaam took up his discourse and said, 'The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the word of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered.'" Here's verse 17. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." That's all the way back in Numbers. It's an ancient Old Testament prophecy about the rise of the Davidic dynasty from which Jesus came. And the Magi had read this. They were familiar with it, along with the other prophecies like Micah chapter 5, verse 2, as well as Daniel's ideas from the time in which he and the other Hebrews were in exile in Babylon. You see, when the Babylonians exiled the people of Jerusalem from the promised land, those people took with them, the Hebrew people took their sacred scripture along, and they offered instruction to their captors. And so the wise men needed to know things, and they had studied the scripture. But the wise men were seeking answers for what they did not understand. They wanted to see if the ancient people's prophecy about a new king were true. "Where is he?" they ask. A second, I want to speak about what we do know. Jesus as true wisdom. The Magi were seeking wisdom, and what they discovered was Jesus, the baby. Wisdom himself. Luke speaks about Jesus as one who is increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That's the original reading for tonight. We read the alternate reading. Anybody can grow to no good purpose. Some of the greatest minds in the world have pursued knowledge for knowledge's sake and not to know God or to recognize him as creator and saint sustainer. Some of the greatest athletes in the world compete for their own glory and fame. Some of the greatest spiritual leaders throughout history have missed out on knowing the way, the truth, and the life. And as a result, they point people to darkness and death. The scripture in Luke says that Jesus grew in knowledge and wisdom. This is the point. Jesus grew into a man who knew the right thing to do and then was able to do them. It's the definition of wisdom, living rightly unto God. The Old Testament range of meaning for wisdom includes human skill or ability or humanly derived knowledge. But according to Ecclesiastes, these things bring grief and frustration. We're also able to identify divine wisdom given by God that leads to a good and true and satisfying life. According to Proverbs, this kind of wisdom keeps the commandments of God, is characterized by prudence, discernment, and humility. And as Job learned, is based upon the fear of the Lord. These are all positive things that Jesus exemplifies. One commentator says about divine wisdom that the truly wise person is the good person, and the truly good person is he or she who at the very beginning chooses to give God his proper place in his or her life. In the New Testament, wisdom is an attribute of God, the revelation of the divine will to humans, a religious and spiritual understanding of the will of God and the human intellectual capacity. The distinctive element in New Testament wisdom is its identification to Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is very specific about this because it describes Jesus as the ultimate source of all Christian wisdom. It's because throughout his life, Jesus chose to point his life to God's purpose and will. He became the individual who in all cases and in all circumstances did the right thing according to God's will. Listen to 1 Corinthians. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demanded signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Throughout his life, Luke says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And as a result of Jesus being a man of God, not only a man of God, but the man of God, he was both. In other words, Jesus wasn't just the Son of God. He was also obedient to God. He was one who leaned his whole life into accordance with God's expectations. This is what we do know. Jesus, as the wise men discovered on that day when they met him with their gifts fit for a king, was the one who all the Hebrew scripture was pointing toward. The wise men in that moment of gazing at Jesus for the first time understood that he was king of the world, not just king of the Jews. Now, this idea isn't explicitly stated in this Gospel of Matthew, but I think it's there. For why in the world would Matthew begin his gospel, which was written for Jewish people? Why would he begin this story, this book, with a story that reminds the readers of their previous oppressors? Remember, the Babylonians had captured them in 605 BC. They destroyed Jerusalem. They had destroyed the temple, the very identifying factor for the Hebrew people. That destruction occurred in 587 BC. And so anybody who came from the east would be people that were either hated by the Jews, or certainly the Jews would have been suspicious of them, uncertain of them. And yet Matthew records the wise men worshiping Jesus and bringing him gifts for a king. The wise men have been uncertain about some things, but they got this correct. They understood that Jesus is king. All right, here comes my Ethan Magnus impersonation. In 1982, bless you, Father. In 1982, James Taylor, awesome 1980s guy, about the only decent 1980s artist, honestly, besides you two. James Taylor wrote a song about the wise men called Home by Another Way. Now, I want you to remember that, because on your way home tonight, as you're walking or riding, I want you to pull up Spotify and I want you to search Home by Another Way by James Taylor. And when you're driving home, I don't want you to take the normal way home. I want you to go home by another way. And you'll thoroughly enjoy the song. And it will connect. It actually connects here because it's the last line in the gospel. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So what the wise men did. And James Taylor has a very thoughtful song about that. The wise men traveled home by another way. They visited with Jesus. This is a lyric from the song. They visited with Jesus, and they sure enjoyed their stay. In fact, I think it's more positive than that, just enjoying their stay. The Magi bowed down to the baby Jesus. They worshiped him. They gave him expensive gifts. These Magi, in that moment, weren't trying to prove they knew better than Jesus. These Magi weren't trying to prove their own power. Instead, they came to worship the true God. And as far as we know, they went home by another way, proclaiming the name of Jesus, whom the king, as king, who was sent from God above. It seems that this is true because they did actually obey the dream that they had. They didn't go back to Herod and report. They did go home another way. Something happened to them because they met Jesus. They didn't do as the wicked Herod demanded. They were changed by their experience. They were changed by the realization that Jesus was the one who was spoken of from ancient sacred scripture. They were convinced of his identity as the king. And the Apostle Paul describes Jesus in this way from chapter 2 in his letter to the Philippians. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. These wise men, that one especially, is doing exactly as Paul described. He's bowing before the king. He's on his knee. The one, the Magi were worshiping, was this one, Jesus. Now, I don't want to rush to Easter, but today we do need to understand that this is the future of the baby Jesus. Who can we trust? We can trust Jesus. He's the one who fulfills all the law and the prophets. He fulfills all righteousness, for he is the wisdom and power of God. Since, like the Magi, we're seeking to know things too, let me end this sermon by reminding you of the end from the last chapter of John's apocalyptic vision. Revelation 22 says that Jesus is coming. Here's what Revelation 22 says, a portion of it. And he said to me, this is John writing, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil. Let the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the Holy Spirit and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Here's the key verse. I, Jesus, am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. On that day, many years ago, wise men approached Jesus following the ancient curiosities about what they had read in the Hebrew scriptures and what they had heard from Daniel. They arrived to see Jesus and worshiped him with gifts for a king. What are the gifts that you will give him this year as you recognize him and as you worship him? The Magi had seen the star of Jesus rising, and they wanted to see the prophecy of Daniel fulfilled. So they traveled. They shared no expense as they followed that star in order to see the wonder of the king. What star will you follow this year? May the Christ star also rise in your hearts this Christmas season and draw you to search for him and worship him as you await the coming king. Amen.